You're listening to Footy Roundup. Rob Serjanik and Matt Titcomb. Matty, we got to get a little bit of back office stuff out of the way, unfortunately. For our listeners, this is going to be our last episode for a while. Not forever, just for a while. Matty, you're moving out to Windsor for a bit.
Yeah, part of our program, we have to do an internship at the end, and I got 3 months with the Windsor Star. Super excited to be obviously down there, especially with Detroit so close and getting to go over and cover their sports as well. But Footy Roundup will be off for a few weeks while we try and sort out some things.
The logistics of how we're going to be recording.
Exactly,
this
but we'll be back. We're not going away. We're just a little hiatus for a few weeks to a month here.
We're saying so long, not goodbye.
Exactly.
Matty, the Vancouver Whitecaps, they clinched the playoffs in impressive fashion. A 1-0 home victory over Real Salt Lake, finishing with a team record 50 points, their second playoff appearance in team history. I don't know what more can be said about this squad. They're pretty much the opposite of Toronto FC. They came through in the clutch big time. You know, Portland won their game 2-0 against FC Dallas, put all the pressure on Vancouver having to win their match, and they passed the grade in flying colors.
Yeah, especially because the Portland game, I think, finished during the first half of the Vancouver game.
So yeah, they knew what they needed.
They knew what they needed, like, come halftime. And, you know, I mean, they kind of onslaughted at the weekend to get the 3 points that they needed, and Weston got that nice header off a corner as well. So.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, they did what they had to do. You know, you have your control in your own hands, your destiny in your own hands, and, you know, they knew they had to win the game, and they got it done. So, I mean, that's all. You can't ask for much more than that.
Yeah, Kakuta Mane was very influential from the bench for them, too. He came off, hit the bar. He was, you know, creating chances left and right, incisive runs. You know, Real Salt Lake was having a real difficult time trying to contain his speed. My question for you, Matty, is the Whitecaps have been in great form for a while now. They've been basically playing playoff football for the last couple of weeks to ensure that they can qualify.
Yeah, they haven't lost in, I think it's 5 games.
Yeah, what chances do you give them against FC Dallas on the road? The match will be on October 29th. I think they have a pretty good chance, actually, to advance. I would maybe even fancy them to win this game.
Yeah, on the road, it makes it tough, though. Yeah. Dallas were obviously the 4th seed. Vancouver would be in the 5th seed. It's tough. It is close.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, MLS, any kind of playoff format, it really is kind of a toss-up to some extent. I'm going to say Dallas will probably beat Vancouver here. I just think overall they're a better side. Obviously, they finished quite a bit above. You know, that gap from 4th to 5th was quite a bit in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. I just think Dallas just kind of all over the place are a little bit better than Vancouver. Especially with Vancouver as well, we know that, you know, they might score in bunches, but they leak goals quite a bit too at times. Even though, having said that, they've played quite well defensively the last, you know, to get for their playoff push. But I would probably just give the edge to Dallas, basically just because of preseason, regular season form. But you know, if Vancouver nicking this wouldn't at all surprise me, I've got to be honest.
I'm throwing my hat in the pro-Canada ring. I'm optimistic, and I think that the form they've been in and the momentum they've had could carry over. And I think another thing that might help them out here too, Matty, which might sound strange because it's not a home-and-home, it's just a do-or-die one game to make the next level. So anything can happen in one game. You see it in sports all the time, you know, upsets. I don't think this would be a monumental upset
by any stretch.
So just running through the playoff seedings quickly. In the West, we have Seattle 1, LA 2, Real Salt Lake 3, FC Dallas 4, Vancouver 5, as you mentioned. In the East, we have DC United 1, New England 2, Columbus 3, New York 4, Sporting KC 5. Your initial thoughts when you look at the seedings?
Well, obviously, Seattle took the what's the trophy called when you win the whole league?
Oh, boy.
whatever that thing's called. Some trophy that no one really cares all that much about that. You know, I guess
Oh, the supporter shield you're talking about, the regular season.
The regular season. Thingy-ma-jibber. So, I mean, Seattle got the job done there, I guess. But I think Seattle are the best side in the West.
Yeah, I would agree.
But I let's be honest. I think we all really want to see Seattle play LA over 2 legs to, you know, in the West and make it into the final.
I mean, outside of my heart being on hoping Vancouver can go far, I agree. It's probably the 2 best teams in MLS right now anyways.
Exactly. On the East side, though.
Pretty open.
I agree. I actually think even New York or Kansas City, who play in the knockout round, like the 4th versus 5th seed,
yep.
I think one of those two sides will make it to the final.
I'm
picking New York. I think New York, you know, with Henri up front, Bradley Wright Phillips, you know, a league tie in record, 27 goals.
Yep.
Like, that's a guy from England who's, you know, his dad is one of the great England strikers, Arsenal legend Ian Wright. His brother, Sean Wright Phillips, has had a pretty good career himself. And Bradley Wright Phillips was kind of just dwindling away in like the lower leagues in England, comes to New York and is like a goal machine. 27 goals in his first season.
What a transformation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone expected that. So I think he's going to kind of lead them. Obviously, Henri and some other guys he got on that side. I think actually New York will actually make it all the way through to the final here. And I'm going to pit them against LA, I think.
New York, LA, eh?
Yeah, just something, you know, two huge cities as well, and obviously in America, but something about Landon Donovan is just going to...
You go on a little storybook run.
I'm not sure if they'll beat New York in the final, but I think LA are going to make it there. LA-New York final is my prediction here for the MLS Cup.
The major markets, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't get much bigger than that, right?
I think the one thing we could agree on, Maddie, when you look at these seeds, the East top seeds, I think, are much more ripe for the picking than the West. I would greatly favor Seattle, LA in their matchups, whoever they end up. Well, I guess right. LA, we know they're going to be playing Real Salt Lake, right?
Yeah.
I would favor them heavily in both. The East, I don't know. It is wide open. I agree with your picks. I could even see Columbus going all the way. They're always kind of a little bit sticky, right? In the playoffs. Yeah. I'm going to say Seattle-Columbus final, and I have the Sounders winning. I just think they're the best team in MLS this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, well, I mean, obviously the Supporters Shield proved that for the most part. So, anyway, I guess moving on to a few other MLS notes. Toronto FC, we won't spend too much time on this because I think we've killed this bird quite a few times already. they lost again.
They didn't make the playoffs, right?
No, I don't believe so. According to my MLS bracket here, I do not see TFC on the list.
There's no mathematical permutation that's going to get them in.
Exactly. They're toast, as we said last week on the show.
Their final match they had away to New England, they lost 1-0. Lee Nguyen with a goal for the Revolution. And Montreal last game, they tied DC United, Matty, 1-1. Marco DeVio got on the board.
Yeah, in his last ever game.
Yep.
He's retiring at the end of the season. We were talking about that a few weeks ago. What he was doing, and obviously it seems as if he is going to retire.
Yeah.
He was a good player for a very long time. Made his name in Italy. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many teams he played for in Italy, but it was quite a few. Came to Montreal and led them to the playoffs. And, you know, he's had a good career. Nice way to finish up.
There's not much more he could do at the age of 38, too. Nah. I mean, he got his side into the playoffs, and that's all you can ask for in MLS, really. He came over and he made that impact that Toronto FC is still looking for. To Toronto FC's end, Maddie, Jermaine Defoe and Michael Bradley, they returned home to their home countries for treatment on injuries and are not making themselves available for the end of season player availability media day today, actually. I think it's going to be this afternoon. What do you think about that? I understand like they want their injury treatment. I just think it looks bad to me. You run away and then don't have anything to say at the end of the season and you just kind of stay away from it. I know there's not much that can be said now,
right?
But I think being a professional, just, you know, make yourself available, right?
Bit of a voice crack there for me, right?
Not he just experienced puberty on Footy Roundup in real time.
Michael Bradley, I think you just give a pass to.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be back, he's been there. You know, he's been there all season long. He never ran away. He was committed all year round. Jermaine Defoe, though, I mean, this is nothing new for him. When he was injured, he went home to England for a while to nurse his injury or chill, whatever it was he was doing.
Have a couple pops on the beach, maybe.
Yeah, well, there's not many beaches in England.
Assuming that he's telling the truth about England, too.
Well, there's also that
true. Everybody's against Defoe in this city. So.
Exactly. So, like I said, Bradley, I think you just give a pass to, but Defoe...
It'd be nice to at least say something once. Now it's just he's just going to be this vile, hated character. Just, you know, man up and be a man. It didn't work out. It wasn't what I expected. You know, I'm going home. I wish the club best of luck. Like, is it really that hard to issue a statement like that?
Right. Like, the sooner kind just of TFC just move on from
exactly.
this guy, the better. I mean, I think Defoe is kind of... I don't think in England people probably care all that much, but, like, over here, I think he's really tarnished, like, his legacy and his image. His image. Like, I mean, just back and forth, can't commit. I don't think, like I said, I don't think people in England really, you know, reading on Sky Sports and BBC, they report it, but I don't think they really see how we see it out here in terms of what Defoe's been doing or not doing, however you want to look at it, I guess. But, I mean, he didn't even play the last couple of games of the season again.
Just mailed it in,
I mean, it all goes back to that Houston game. Yeah. Where he missed the penalty, missed that great chance late on.
I think that's all he's going to be remembered for, unfortunately. As many goals as he banged and as productive as he was early, people are going to remember him not coming through in the moment when they needed him. And
right.
That's going to be all she wrote for Defoe.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I said, let's move on. TFC should just move on. I hope they keep Bradley.
I think they will.
I think they will, but it's going to be. I think it's going to be hard, though.
The one thing I'd say, too, Matt, about the Defoe situation, you know, when all the rumors came out, I think it was a QPR that he was rumored to be going back to, that I think a lot of North American sports fans don't necessarily comprehend the concept of what, you know, the transfer window in Europe.
Yeah,
like, this stuff happens all the time.
Yeah,
even when it doesn't go through, there's rumors and proposals. Like, you know, newsflash, like, Cristiano Ronaldo, this happens. Like, people try to poach him. I'm sure Man U has thrown a money offer at Madrid to try to get him back. They didn't do it,
right.
But it doesn't become such a big deal because people just know it's part of business of soccer.
Yeah, like, a while ago, I was writing for a European soccer website, and I was covering Serie A and League One, and every day, like, you would be writing transfer related stories. It'd be like the same guy who suddenly linked to different teams every day, and, you know, always going to replace this guy. It's never ending. Like, transfer market in England, like, it runs through the summer and then all through January, but it never dies. It never sleeps.
I don't know that he's necessarily wrong for seeing what's out there. I just wish he, you know, he would have manned up a little bit more about what was going on and just be a little bit more honest. It was kind of like the LeBron situation when he left. I never had any issue with LeBron, you know, leaving Cleveland the first time. It just, the way he kind of ran them through the mud, pretending they had a shot, just rubbed me the wrong way.
Do you think Defoe's going to come back to Toronto in 4 years?
The triumphant return.
With two league titles under his name with someone else, and just come back and I'm back, boys. Let's do this.
A bloody bigger deal, is it?
Geez.
Biggest deal? Maddie, moving on to news about Chivas USA. Kind of sad to see that all play out.
Yeah, they're shutting down. This isn't a surprise, though. They've been bad. On the field, they've been okay. They actually made the playoffs for a few years in a row. But recently, their second team in Los Angeles. And nobody just cares.
Yeah, they
nobody
had a tough time,
cares.
I think, playing the backseat to the Galaxy, too.
Even in the same stadium, they just never got it done. I think I read earlier today or last night that they only averaged 7,000 people this year. You know, LA is double, if not three times more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably actually, three times more than that. You know, so they're kind of ceased operations. The MLS brought them out, I think, from the owner, who basically tried to, like attach onto the Mexican fans in the city.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I think I read that it was Don Garber, the commissioner of the league, basically saying that they made a mistake by trying to market it, too much as a Latino team.
Right.
Because it becomes kind of exclusive to people who don't fit in.
And all their players were Latino, like Mexican guys. I think at the time when they, I think it was the guy who brought the team was a guy who owns, I think, Guadalajara in Mexico, one of the big soccer clubs down there. And at the time, obviously, MLS were like, lots of money, Mexican market, why not, right? But it just hasn't worked out. So they seize operations, which actually is not a good thing, obviously.
No.
But in terms of like league number, it works out well. Now the MLS is at 20 teams because next year we now have Orlando coming in and another New York City team of obviously David Villa and Frank Lampard. But then because of that, they're obviously on the east side of the country. They will not be playing in the West, believe it or not. So that means Houston and Kansas City are heading to the Western Conference now. So a bit of a shakeup in terms of, teams in each conference.
It's going to be a shakeup for the players too, Matt. They announced that they're going to be holding a dispersal draft, quote, at a later date. So that's, I guess, to be established.
When we figure it out what we're doing, it's basically,
I guess it would be similar to when an expansion team comes in NHL and, like, you know, the certain amount of, I guess it's a reverse of that exact situation. You know, you make a couple of players protected, some are available, and then they select.
Basically,
here you're going to be selecting from just
everyone.
A team. Yeah.
But then you also got to consider that the two new teams coming in now have to fill out their rosters more. Orlando dominated the NASL.
Yeah, they haven't figured out the specifics of that, if the two new teams are going to be involved in this dispersal draft or not.
I would imagine they have to be because it just makes logical sense to pick up proper MLS players. Because these teams, you know, New York's a brand new franchise, period. Orlando have been playing in the NASL for a while and being very good at it. But they haven't... the players are good, but they're not MLS quality. And they got to fill out their roster. Obviously, Orlando has picked up Kaká. But they need to add some other guys to the team. And we obviously mentioned Villa and Lampard from New York.
Yeah, my feeling would be that they will and definitely should be included. I'm sure it's a case of, you know, working out the legal and paperwork logistics to make sure, you know, everything is in order. So,
But also, we should add that the second team will be coming back to LA in 2017. They've already announced that's going to happen. So, for what that's worth. And obviously, we got Atlanta coming into MLS. I think it's 2017. So, hopefully at that time, they don't... Just avoid the odd numbers is basically what we're trying to say.
It's going to be a lot of activity and movement over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering they want to expand it. I imagine they want to get up to close to 30 teams at some point. So,
Matt, moving across the ocean to the Premiership, Man United and Chelsea, that was quite the battle. I guess you could say, you know, Man U has the life preserver and managed to just kind of cling on to their hopes long term now. Goals came from Chelsea from Drogba, Costa didn't play. And Van Persie with a late goal at the death, 94th minute, off of a free kick. And it was a really stupid foul by Ivanovic.
He got sent off as well, right?
Like, there was not much threat there. You know, just let him kind of run it out or go to the corner. And he stomped him, got a second yellow, got sent off, and then subsequently, bang, draw.
But also on top of that, from the free kick, Fellaini's header was wonderfully saved by Courtois.
It was, yeah.
It was really... I mean, that's the part everyone just keeps forgetting about, which is understandable.
Because it didn't get cleared out, yeah.
Because then Van Persie just thunders a thing in with his left foot. His left foot is just beyond deadly. It's scary how good he is with his left peg. But we said last week that United cannot afford to lose this game, and they were close to losing it.
Yeah.
But they got what they had to get out of it.
My feeling, too, going into this was, I was telling you that I think Chelsea would be happy with the draw. 1-1 was the score I expected. Having said that, how this played out,
they'll be annoyed now.
They're going to be frustrated, and Man U's going to become more happy with the tie maybe than they would have been going into the match.
Well, especially when Man City lost earlier in the day, or the day before, I should say. So, that Chelsea are now 10 points ahead of United right
still
now.
Still comfortable.
Which is still comfortable, and they're 6 points ahead of Man City. So, Chelsea are in good position. Still haven't lost, obviously, yet in 9 games, but yeah.
That could have really been a stake through the heart of Man U if they won that, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't think United are going to catch Chelsea, but I think it would have pretty much killed them off, definitely, for
already,
sure.
Yeah.
It's a bigger point for United than it is for Chelsea. You could tell by the reaction on the bench, like Louis van Gaal and Giggsy, and I think Michael Carrick is obviously still active, but he was jumping around as well, so just shows you how big of a point it was for United.
Yeah, some of the other results you mentioned, Man City lost away at West Ham 2-1, Liverpool, a disappointing 0-0 draw at home.
Yeah, Liverpool are just so bad that, like, I wouldn't say they're bad, but they're just so inconsistent, can't get results constantly.
Underwhelming is the word
they're
not awful,
they're just
but
not
they
scoring goals
better.
I mean, that's
they're not.
After last year, it seemed like they would just score goals for fun. They're like, obviously with Sturridge out injured, they're getting nothing. Balotelli is
just
garbage.
Been a waste, yeah.
Ricky Lambert, as much as I hate to say it,
I wonder if Balotelli's
struggling.
Even going to be there in January. They might not have
much
patience left
for him.
Yeah, I
read something last night about they might be looking to sell him, but I'd be shocked if they move them that early. I mean, the other part of that is like, you might want to get rid of him, which is fine. But who would want to take him right now?
Yeah.
Probably some obscure European
and
team.
And at what
would.
Rate, too?
You're not going to get 16 million back.
Might
for
have
him,
to loan
right?
him or something.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Try and get his confidence back. Kind of like how Torres is. Torres, quick side note, talking to people going on loan, and he's doing really well at Milan. So, anyway.
I thought that was all she wrote for Torres. Maybe not quite yet.
No, not yet. He looks to be doing okay out there.
Arsenal 2-0 away at Sunderland. Good result for Arsenal.
No, home to Sunderland, wasn't it? Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, we were away. Alexis Sanchez scored twice in that game. Second goal was in the last minute. Some kind of goalie fumbled the ball in one of those disasters.
Those FIFA type goals.
Well, it wasn't even as bad as that. Talking of FIFA last night, I scored a drop kick with my goalie. How about that? That's impressive. I tried to get the video of it, but the FIFA replay wouldn't allow me to.
I've scored from half a couple times. You do hit the cross just right, and the goalie backpedals
and falls,
and
it
goes over
it. Yeah, I've never done that one, but I got the goalie dropkick goal last night, which I was quite excited. I'm not going to lie.
Proud moment on Footy Roundup.
Yeah, real side note there, but I don't know how we got onto that subject, but all right.
How about Tottenham losing at home 2-1 to Newcastle? Newcastle, who has not been in any kind of form this season.
They've played well the last couple of weeks, though.
They've picked it up, yeah.
And also, the Newcastle's winner came 8 seconds into the second half. 8 seconds.
That's absurd.
Kickoff, back to the guy standing
at the topic
at
of video
circle.
Game goals. That's how
kick
you
kick it right over the top. Guy takes one touch and fires across the goalie. I mean, 8 seconds. Like, jeez. Talking to Tottenham as well, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the wonder goal that Eric Lamela scored last week in the Europa League. I forget what the actual term of it is. Something like that.
Rakitic? What's going on over here?
Yeah, no, it's not quite Rakitic, but it's Rakama, something like that. The term escapes me a little, but it's when you basically wrap your foot around the back of your leg and shoot it. It was a fabulous goal. Probably goal of the season so far, just because it's so rare to see. You see guys cross balls like that. I know Ronaldo did it in an FA Cup once, a number of years ago for United. But it's been a while since you've seen a guy
score.
Plug
in the sports Bible here. Is it on there too?
No. I was actually watching the game.
Oh, okay.
I should also note that Rob and I haven't neglected to mention the Europa League. It's just we weren't going to pick it up until the knockout stages, because in the group stage it's a gong show. There's too many teams.
Yeah, it's all over
the map. Let's be honest, none of us have probably ever heard of apart from maybe quite a few of them. So
or a rooting interest if it's your country, maybe. You
right,
know,
but even then, like, I'm not exactly sat there rooting for Tottenham or anything. It's just, but that's why, in case you were wondering, we've never mentioned Europa League, is because knockout, the group stage is just all over the place with too many teams. Another sidebar on Footy Roundup today. A couple of results. West Brom drew 2-2 of Crystal Palace. Barino got it. Barino is like the next England guy, scoring goals for fun for Albion. I expect a call up to him for the national squad at some point.
I would think so, yeah.
The other one we got to mention here is Southampton beating Stoke 1-0, because the Saints are second in the Premier League, Rob. still kicking around.
Yeah.
Nine games played, 6 wins, a draw, and 2 losses, 19 points, 4 points behind Chelsea. I mean, you got to look at this as well, Rob, is that I know it's early still. You know, we're about, a quarter of the way into the season. But Southampton have a 5-point gap on the Champions League. Now, we are getting premature here. I'm not gonna deny that.
Yeah,
but it's worth noting. There's a couple, I think. But, you know, they are getting, you know, they're kind of just pulling away a little, making these other teams below them, like Arsenal, Liverpool, United, Everton, Spurs, teams you expect to be competing for those Champions League spots, kind of, you know, get a little nervous. They got to start picking up points because Southampton just, you know, they've lost Lambert, Lallana, a bunch of other guys, and they're still kicking around at the top of the table, which is very impressive, to be honest.
Matty, upcoming fixtures this week, the big one unquestionably, Man City at home versus Man United. Some other games of note, we have Chelsea at home against QPR, Newcastle at home against Liverpool, Arsenal at home against Burnley, Southampton away to Hull, Aston Villa at home against Tottenham, and Everton at home against Swansea. I'm sure all attention is going to be on the Man City-Man U battle.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, Manchester Derby is one of the biggest games in European soccer, especially over the last 4 or 5 years when United, when Man City got, you know, a buyer and they started taking over the Premier League in terms of buying players. But yeah, that's a big game, obviously. United, I think, could build on the momentum of getting that last-minute equaliser against Chelsea.
They need a result here.
They do. But man, it's so tough.
Like, I think City 2-1. I'm going.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say I think Man City will win this game. United and Man City seem to struggle when they play each other. Sometimes, you know, teams get hammered. We've seen results when these two teams play each other all over the park. We've seen 4-0, 5-0, 6-0 games. We've also seen 1-0s, 3-2s. It's just been all over the shop. So, but I will take Man City on form despite the fact they lost to West Ham this weekend. But I just think, too much for United. That's a tough week for United as well. Chelsea, Man City, and back-to-back games.
So. Yeah, so it doesn't get any easier. I mean, the cupcake portion of their schedule, they've kind of fumbled through, and now it's with the
big
boys
exactly,
going
right?
forward.
So.
Switching gears to La Liga, El Clasico, Real Madrid 3-1 over Barcelona. Ronaldo on a penalty, Pepe and Benzema for Madrid. Neymar with the goal for Barca in the 4th minute in Luis Suarez's return, which is not victorious for Barca. That was a surprising scoreline to me a little bit.
And Messi as well
bit.
For Barcelona.
Yeah, that doesn't help for sure. But
I was surprised that Suarez started this game.
Mm-hmm.
Just
he created the goal,
played in so long.
Yeah.
I was surprised that he started. I would have thought he would have come off the bench and tried to be like a, you know, a little
super
buzzer,
sub.
Like an energizer kind of guy. But wasn't to be. I'll be honest, I didn't get a chance to watch this game. But I caught the highlights. It looked like Real Madrid were the better side at the end of the day.
What a big result for them.
Well, we said last week, Real really do need to win this game, mm-hmm. right? And obviously, you know, Ronaldo, Pepe, and Benzema. But Pepe's header was really, really good, I thought. So, you know, that's what Real Madrid needed. So
they seem to be rounding into form ever since the Deportivo pounding that they laced. Like, ever since then, they've been very...
That was ruthless.
Yeah, they've been winning games left and right. Valencia 3-1 over Elche. Atletico Madrid 1-0 over Getafe.
Mandzukic got your goal there for you.
Always like to see that. Sevilla home 2-1 victory over Villarreal.
Yeah, that was a huge result for Sevilla. It keeps them in second place, but they were 1-0 down in the 88th minute. And then Suarez and had a backup penalty in the last minute. Somehow pulled out a Sevilla 2-1 home win. So that's a big result for them. So Barcelona actually stay tied with Sevilla at top of the table after 9 games on 22 points. Real Madrid third and 21, and then Valencia in fourth with Atletico as well on 20 points. So La Liga is shaping up to be really good this year. Be curious to see how much longer Sevilla and Valencia can last at top of the table. But, you know, it's a good start to the year. It's close, which is nice.
Yeah, the big boys this week in La Liga, Real Madrid is away to Granada. Should be comfortable there. Atletico at home against Cordoba. You'd favor them.
Yep.
Barca at home against Celta Vigo. I mean, Celta Vigo is a little sticky, but you'd expect Barca to come away with the points. I think, Matt, the game to watch is Villarreal at home versus Valencia.
Yeah, well, Villarreal at 8th, Valencia 4th. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Barcelona playing Celta Vigo. Celta Vigo are 6th in the league. So, yeah, a couple of... good, interesting games there. Like I said, I think because Barcelona at home, they should be all right
it, yeah.
there. Like you said, though, I think the Valencia away to Villarreal is a real tough game. Like, those yellow submarines have always been kind of a tricky place to go to over the years, even when they were playing in the Champions League.
Feels like a draw, kind of, to me.
It does, it does. But I think Valencia would be happy with that. But at the same time, you know,
Villarreal would probably be all right with it, too, realistically. I mean, they'd like to
win.
Yeah,
but then again, at the same time, they're thinking, if we can beat them here, we inch closer to Valencia and start creeping up towards Champions League spots, right? But that's probably the game to watch in La Liga this week.
Matty, Bundesliga action.
Guangzhou City.
Oh, it's just constant. Leverkusen 1-0 over Schalke at home. Dortmund losing at home to Hanover?
Dortmund are just all over
the
shop.
What is going on right now?
I mean, Hannover are seventh in the table, but doesn't matter. I mean, Dortmund are just, they're a mess this year.
But I mean, it's less, you know, an indictment on Hannover and more like what the expectation level was for Dortmund.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, they you know, started on the start of the season when they lost 2-0 to Bayer Leverkusen, and it's just, it's sunk from there. I mean, they're 15th in the table. They're 14 points behind Bayern Munich after 9 games.
And Bayern Munich, to me, it's locked up now. Like, barring something catastrophic, I can't see them.
They played Mönchengladbach this weekend, right? And it was 0-0. So good home draw for Mönchengladbach.
Yeah, good on them. Yeah.
So I mean, Bayern Munich, they've only won 6 of their 9 games. They've drawn the other 3. Munich and Mönchengladbach are still the only 2 teams in Bundesliga that are unbeaten this year. So Mönchengladbach, you know, they're tied for second with Wolfsburg and Hoffenheim on 17
points. Did anybody
points.
See that coming? Anybody at all?
Mönchengladbach? Yeah. I don't know, I'm sure some obscure German reporter probably predicted a little.
Pegged it and he's just patting himself on
exactly,
the back.
Just that, this year is the year, boys. This is the year Mönchengladbach can have a good start to the year, and he got it right. But
but little known to everyone else, he's been saying that for the last 10 years.
So. Exactly, right? That's exactly it. So, you know, I mean, can't complain with that for Mönchengladbach. They stay undefeated, and you know, they pick back the champions right now, so good result for them. A couple of other quite exciting games. Frankfurt lost 4-5. Who says it like that?
You calling out a formation here?
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. They lost 5-4 at home to Stuttgart. Stuttgart scored twice in the last 9 minutes to bag the 3 points there.
I don't want to be a cynic, Matt, but to me, when I see a result like that in soccer, somebody got rich, somebody got paid big. When you see
really?
A 5-4, so, I don't know, man. It doesn't look right to me. That's really high scoring for a soccer game.
Yeah, but what about, say, like when Chelsea scored 6 on Everton?
It's possible.
Oh, man, come on. Can it not just be like terrible defending?
It can be. Sometimes
which it
I
probably
think it's
was. Yeah. All right. Well,
5-4 is strange though. Like 6-0, you see the pounding. You know, when a team gets outclassed. Granted, Everton's not bad, but when you see, you know, Bayern pounding some of the minnows 5-6-0, I don't think anyone thinks anything of that. 5-4. That's bigger than a hockey score, Matt. I don't know. It's strange to me. That's all.
Well,
I'm
you and
say.
I differ on the match fixing situation.
Yeah.
I am
on the severity of it. I mean, you're not. I don't think naive enough to think it doesn't exist, but.
No, I just don't. I just see 5-4 and think that was just terrible defending and a lot of goals. So that's exactly how I look at games like that. Hertha Berlin 3-0 over Hamburg. Hamburg continue to struggle. They're 16th in the league. Hoffenheim beat Paderborn. Remember Paderborn when they were good at the start of the year?
Vaguely, yeah.
Not anymore.
Afterthought, huh?
And also, I think you mention Bayer Leverkusen beat Schalke 1-0?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so good result for Bayer. They kind of turn it around, get a win there. They're sitting fifth in the table, so they're kind of picking up a little bit.
Yeah, they're in okay shape. Upcoming matches, Matty, which one stands out most to you?
Well, Bayern Munich versus Dortmund. The only problem is that Dortmund sucked this year.
Yeah.
So my interest in this game is
it's kind of like when I mentioned the Bayern the other week. I can't remember who I said. I think it was Bremen, just based on the name.
Oh,
but
yeah.
On
Bremen
form,
is
it's
still
like,
bottom of the table.
Exactly. Yeah. It's still a disaster.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way I don't think you pick a Bayern Munich win here because how bad Bayern are at home. They're too good at home. Dortmund are just terrible, period. So
team I've been keeping my eye on a little bit, Matty, Wolfsburg is just hovering around. They're a dangerous, sticky little side. I mean, from my own perspective, Ivan Perisic and Ivica Olic are there, the 2 Croatian internationals. They've been playing well.
And Nicholas Bentner.
Yeah, he's still kicking around too, eh? The Great Dane.
Absolutely.
Their team, they're right there. Like, I expect them to battle to the death of the season, at least for a Champions League spot. I think that's something they'll be able to maintain.
Yeah,
they're, what, 4 points back right now?
Yeah, and they're in Europa League this year. So, you know, they are playing European football.
Yeah.
Hamburg versus Leverkusen is a pretty interesting game, especially because Hamburg are at home, just desperately need points. Leverkusen need to keep their good form ahead going on here. Mönchengladbach are home to Hoffenheim. Hoffenheim sit 4th in the table. So another back-to-back top of the table
crashes.
Yeah, I mean,
based on schedule
crashes.
And standings, that seems like quite the fixture as well.
Yeah, absolutely, right? So, you know, Mönchengladbach, I'm sure, will be looking to keep pace with Bayern Munich there, considering Bayern are probably going to beat Dortmund.
By the last of the big 4 leagues, the Serie A, Sampdoria 0, Roma 0. I guess, it was in Sampdoria, so maybe not a fully disappointing result for Roma. What, Sampdoria's 4th now, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think Roma would want max points if they want to keep nipping at Juve's heels. They'll probably slight disappointment there.
Well, especially with Juve slipping up last week against Sassuolo, and then Roma winning to get back within a point, and then
giving it right back
with an away draw. I mean, like you said, though, Sampdoria's a tough place. Mm-hmm. It's one of the tougher places to play in Italy. So I don't think you can be disappointed without not losing. But like you said, I think right now you take it because it's still so... You know, they've only played 8 games in Italy. Still a long, long way to go in the season. So I think for now they'll be okay with that. Juve did win, as we said. They beat Palermo 2-0. Vidal and Llorente got the goals there.
It's a typical Juve kind of result.
No, they just win 2-0.
Get it taken care of and keep the clean sheet and keep
2-3 nothing is basically. Yeah. You just pencil Juve in for that pretty much.
Especially
every week.
At home.
Yeah, exactly right. Inter Milan beat Sassania 1-0 on the road. Good win, good away win for Inter. What else we got? AC Milan drew with Fiorentina 1-1. De Jong got the goal for AC and Ilic got the goal for Fiorentina. Napoli had the highest scoring game of the weekend. They beat Hellenic Verona 6-2 at home. Gonzalo Higuain had a hat-trick in that game.
Gonzalo Higuain, I was a big fan of his not long ago. He's kind of fallen out of form a little bit. And out of favor also, incidentally, with Argentina.
Yeah, and Hamsik bagged a brace, and Callejon got a goal as well. So Napoli's three big boys basically getting the job done for them there. Udinese beat Atalanta 2-0, and Lazio beat Torino 2-1. So Juve, three points clear on Roma, and then Udinese, Sampdoria on 16, Lazio and Milan kicking on 15, and Inter Milan still keeping some track on 12 points. So
yeah.
The big teams are at least in the top half of the table in Italy. Same can't be said for the Bundesliga and the Premier League.
This week coming up for, the big two, I'll call them, Roma at home against Cesena.
These are midweek matches as well, actually.
Yeah, Roma on the away to Napoli. And then we got Juventus, on the road against Genoa, and also on the road against Empoli. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, Empoli got pounded at the weekend by Cagliari. So I don't think Empoli are going to be too much of a problem for Juve. But yeah, I think obviously Napoli-Roma is probably one of the bigger games this weekend.
Inter-Sampdoria too, I think is going to be a good match.
Yeah, as well. And Udinese-Genoa is a pretty intriguing match there. So some good games coming up. Like we said, there's midweek games. That's when Roma plays Cesena and Juve travel to Genoa. But also there are obviously the weekend games as well. So
Matt, a couple of international notes before we wrap things up here on our sadly final asterisk episode of Footy Roundup.
For the time being.
Yeah. Our new Argentina coach, Tata Martino, has included Carlos Tevez on his squad list for their November friendly against Croatia. It's the first time in 3 years that Tevez has been included on the Argentinian squad. I think it's long overdue.
I agree.
He fell out with the previous coaching staff there. They didn't include him on the World Cup squad. Strange sidebar to this one, too, since it's been a day of sidebars, Matt. For whatever reason, this Croatia-Argentina match is taking place in London, England.
Perfect.
You and your boys have anything to do with setting this one up? Or?
I have no idea. I don't know what the...
As far as friendlies go, though, I think that's going to be a pretty good encounter.
That'd be a good game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe to help... Maybe... Is that like a neutral location in the middle?
I'm thinking some kind of like helping on travel costs or marketing or something.
I don't know. But I mean, the only thing I'll say about that is England themselves are struggling to fill Wembley for England home internationals. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help when you play San Marino and all these garbage teams.
Yeah, at least to like a neutral soccer fan, that's a pretty juicy encounter.
I wouldn't bet this sells out much, though.
Yeah, just because it's not people, England's not in it.
Well, like I said, people won't go to watch England play. I don't think why would they go down midweek? Is it a midweek game, I assume? Probably.
Yeah, it's on November 12th. I'm not sure where that lands on the schedule.
My birthday's the 10th, which is a Sunday, whenever that is.
Well, I want to hop on a jet plane and take this one in.
Absolutely, but you might...
get to see England in the process, get to see Croatia play, Argentina's good.
Yeah.
Just interesting note. I think long overdue for Tevez to be back, though.
Yeah, I agree.
He's been in great form.
He's been too good for Juve the last couple of years. There's no reason why, problems with coaches aren't uncommon, but when you have a player as good as Tevez, you don't leave him at home, in my opinion.
The last piece of information, Matty, the Ballon d'Or, I say this not in jest, shortlist was announced. It's 23 players.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone
shortlist.
Wants me to be reading 23 players, but realistically, it's going to come down to Ronaldo and Messi yet again. I mean, some of the other names on here, none of them are surprising. Diego Costa, he's been in great form. Angel Di Maria had a great World Cup.
This is basically who are the best 23 players.
You know what, though, Matty? When I talked about it during the World Cup, Javier Mascherano, he's got no chance to win this, of course, but he's on the short list of 23 players, and I thought he was Argentina's best player overall in the World Cup, so it's nice to see a holding mid-type player getting a little bit of love for a Ballon d'Or.
It's just the same guys every year, though.
Yeah, they cast such a wide net that it's going
to
be there.
It's a good trophy to win, obviously, but it's kind of... I mean, like we said, it's the same guys every week, and I guess when Ronaldo and Messi are 1A... 1 and 1A in terms of best players in the world, you are going to get repeat winners like they are. But, guys like Di Maria, Diego Costa, Gareth Bale, Müller,
Zlatan Ibrahimovic, too.
Yeah, Schweinsteiger, James Rodriguez. These guys are like top-class players, and they're never going to sniff this trophy because...
Until these guys are gone.
Until
they're still around.
And they're not going to be gone for a while. Mm-hmm. Are they both still in their 20s?
I think the more interesting question is, flip a coin between Messi and Ronaldo, It might be Messi just because maybe they got to the finals of that World Cup, so they're going to give him a little bit more love. Yeah, and they seem to alternate.
But how good was
Messi
in the World Cup, though?
Not great outside of the group stage.
Exactly. He was awful from the knockout stage on.
I think more interesting, even though it's not going to be for the sake of the trophy, Maddie, is eliminate those two. Like, just hypothetically, who would you say the best player in the world was, if like out of the remaining players? It's interesting.
There's stuff still in there.
Yeah. It's an interesting conversation to have. I mean, I'm very striker biased, so I look at Diego Costa on pure skill. I look at Zlatan Ibrahimovic and how he can turn a game.
I love Zlatan.
Love him,
guy
too.
Guy is a beauty.
I mean, you can make a case for James Rodriguez now, too.
I was also going to say Gareth Bale. You got to put a strong word in for what he's been doing the last year or so.
So long and short, it would be a lot more interesting of a battle
if Messi and Ronaldo weren't included.
Didn't exist.
They're going to win it. So
one of them, yeah.
That's the end of that.
Maddie, that's it. I'm sad to see us temporarily go on hiatus here. It's been quite a lot of fun, you know, quite a good run with the two of us now. I guess well over 7 months we've been doing this, and it's been a lot of fun.
Started with the World Cup Group A and went from there.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
To quote a Toronto person, I'm not going to call him great because I'm not a rap guy, but it's a Toronto native, I believe, quoted that. So
he may or may not have involvement in the Toronto Raptors, and sadly, he did have involvement with Jermaine Defoe, and that didn't work out so hard.
Unfortunately, he did. Also, before we head off, like we said, we're on a hiatus for a little bit here until we figure some stuff out in terms of getting the show back up and running. Follow us on Twitter. Rob can be found at SportsNutRob. I can be found by my name, Matt Tidcombe. You'll see how the spelling is on the last name in our description for our show. So, hook us up on there. And I guess thank you for following along and listening to us. And we'll be back soon.
It's been a lot of fun. We've not just gone for a short while, but we will be back. Cheers for listening. Footy Roundup signing off.